If you'd open your Bible this morning to James chapter 3, we're going to begin there in a few minutes. We started a series last week, and we're going to run it through the month of July. We're preaching on love out of 1 Corinthians 13. The characteristics of love, and it's so important to understand those things. But as we back off and we look at the aspects of love, we're talking about God's love. We're not talking about human natural love. And as I said last week, when we talk about human natural love, there's limitations of what you would do in a human standpoint. That is not the love of God. The love of God was demonstrated through the cross of Jesus. God didn't die for a world of sinful people because we were a people that were good and kind and needed, you know, or were lovable to be loved back. No, God's love is much deeper than that. It's a love of sacrifice. It's a love that, because God realized the position man was in, that man was doomed, that God decided to take action, he chose to take action, and he provided a sacrifice instead of condemnation. It was a love of choice. That's the love that you and I should see from the cross. And the love, when we were baptized into Christ, that draws us today in dealing in our relationships with family and people. It's the love of God, the agape, Greek word, agape love, he's trying to get us into. When you choose to love, to sacrifice on behalf of somebody, especially when they've done you wrong, you show that God is at work within you, and you show that you and God are in a sincere relationship. That's what it proves. The love of God is not a feeling love. It's not something you feel good towards somebody. It's a love that you sacrifice because they need your help. John said it this way in 1 John 4:7. He said, "Beloved, love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." See, that's the issue. Are you born of God? Well, I imagine if I asked all of you in here, you'd probably tell me, yeah, I'm born of God. If you've been born of God, then you ought to be using God's love on other people. Do you know God? It's proven by you practicing love. And the love of God does not run with natural inclinations. I keep saying it, and I'm going to keep saying it. It has nothing to do with the way you feel. It has everything to do with the way you sacrifice to help someone else, even your enemy. And that's where God's trying to move us. One aspect of God, or of love, in 1 John 13:4, he says, love is not jealous. We're going to talk about that for the rest of the time. The love of God is not jealous. God is love. Love is not jealous. And yet 6 times in the Old Testament, we find God's name is jealous. Now, if God is love and love is not jealous, then how can God's name be jealous? How can God be a jealous God? Real quick, and you just be a good listener. When you go to the Old Testament in the Hebrew and you look up the word jealous, there is a word, kana, is the Hebrew word. Kana, that's the word jealousy. When you talk of the word kana and you put God's name with kana, it changes its meaning. It becomes a righteous jealousy. You see, in Exodus chapter 20, verse 5, after God gave them the commandment, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me," he says, "For I am a jealous God." He brings up his jealousy in light of what? You have no other God before me. I am the only God. I am the Almighty. I am the El Shaddai. I am God, and don't you have any, and I am a jealous God. I want what is mine and where my rightful place is and what belongs to me. And that is my place. There are no other gods. And so you can see his jealousy is for good. It's not for bad. He doesn't want to compete with other gods. In Exodus chapter 34 and verse 14, he says, "My name is jealous. I am the Lord whose name is jealous." And there he is talking to Israel again about them going after other gods. When you get to Ezekiel, in Ezekiel chapter 39, verse 25, he says, "For I am jealous for my holy name." You be careful how you use the name of God. He is jealous for his name. What makes his jealousy righteous and ours unrighteous? It's because God wants to bless the relationship between him and his people. And he's jealous if you want to break those blessings off. It is a good jealousy. Can you imagine God being jealous for us with a godly jealousy? God wants to bless you, and you want to break off and you want to go after sinful things and do wrong things. And can you imagine God saying, "I don't want you that. I'm jealous for you. I want you over here with me. I want you to keep me in my proper place. I want what is mine and who I am and what I stand for." That's the jealousy of God in the Old Testament. See, that's different from our jealousy. Our jealousy is a feeling. And it's a feeling because someone is taking something away that I want. See, it's not about the jealousy, the righteousness of God. It's about someone interfering with what I want. And so it's directed at them. Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2, he talks about he had a godly jealousy for the Corinthian church because he saw them as being betrothed to Christ like a bride to a husband. And he wanted them to remain in that relationship. That was a godly jealousy. But our jealousy is a feeling that is stirred because of someone else is doing something or has something that I want, and I want to take it away from them and bring it to my possession. That's where the difference lay in the two jealousies. Jealousy of man is not a good thing. Jealousy of man is not holy. Our jealousy is definitely not righteous. And what jealousy does is always stirs evil in your heart. It'll never stir good. In James chapter 3, and I'll show you this. In James chapter 3, beginning in verse 14, he's talking about wisdom. But I want you to look at the source. He says, "But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth." Bitter jealousy. And notice where the bitter jealousy and selfish ambition are at. In the heart. They're in the heart. That's where it's coming from. And now in the heart, these feelings of hatred, these feelings of anger are being stirred. That's what jealousy does. And so, if you'll notice here, he's going to put jealousy along with selfish ambition. Keep reading, verse 15. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. Jealousy and selfish ambition work together. And he said, you show me jealousy. Where jealousy exists, I'll show you selfish ambition existing. Oh yeah, they're going to work hand in hand. And you know what it's going to create? I'm going to show you when jealousy and selfish ambition are working side by side in the heart, I'm going to show you somebody that is in disorder. And he says, in every evil thing. The interesting thing about the word disorder, we're talking about confusion. And confusion leads to instability. A person that's jealous is a person that will be a person that is confused about a lot of things. They don't understand a lot of things going on, and they'll sometimes openly admit, I don't understand why. And you'll see a person that's unstable in a lot of their ways. And when he says every evil thing, it implies it's good for nothing. It's good for nothing that creates trivial things. So when you have jealousy, you know what you have? You have things that are going on that are confusing. It makes you unstable, and you'll begin to argue and complain about trivial things that don't even matter, but to you, you're getting heated about it. You ever hear a person get upset and argue over something that's so trivial that doesn't even mean anything? Well, I know it was red. I saw it was red. You know? I mean, trivial matters that don't even matter, but to the one that is jealous, it is a major issue to them. And so they go after jealousy, and they have these feelings of resentment. They have feelings of bitterness. And so what you do, you begin to focus on that individual that has caused you a reason to flare up. And when you start looking at them, you know what starts happening? You start becoming confused about the relationship. And you get confused. I don't know what happened to the relationship. Something happened way back there. You begin to get unstable. And then you begin to trivialize everything. And you begin to argue over little things. And you let that deteriorate the relationship. That's what jealousy does. It always does. And so now the whole relationship goes down the tube. Where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. When you are jealous of a person, do you know what you never think about doing? Loving them. You'll never think about loving them. The only thing you'll think about is getting from them what you think you want. To get them to stop from something that you want. And you'll want to hurt them no matter what it takes. That's why he says love is not jealous. Love only wants to give and to help another person. Love will sacrifice on somebody's behalf no matter what they've done to you. But jealousy will take you down. It'll make you selfish and self-centered, and it will destroy a relationship. Over the many, many years, I cannot tell you, and you perk up your ears on this one, couples, I cannot tell you how many marriages I have seen literally destroyed because one mate or the other is jealous. Oh, yeah. I've seen it where men cannot stand for their wife to talk to another man, and they take them home and they give them the third degree. Yeah, you'd like to be with that man, wouldn't you? Yeah, that man was just, and on and on and on. Trivial things and confusion and instabilities and disorder. Jealousy is not love. I've seen women, the same thing, their husband talks to another woman, and boy, they end up and they get into arguments over the matter. That's jealousy. That's not love. And then you're going to say, we love one another. You sure don't love with the love of God. And I guarantee you, over time, if one of the other mate has jealousy in their heart about the relationship, I guarantee you the one that is jealous will wear down the one that's trying to do right. Because they will constantly be picking up trivial things. They'll constantly be confusing things. They'll constantly be unstable. And we've got to deal with all of this nonsense. And the family can never grow up in the Lord and do what's right. See, where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. You will tear down your home with your own house. I guarantee it. And I've seen it. I've watched friendships over the years. Just two friends. And all of a sudden they're no friends any longer. And it's because one of them got jealous way back here about something. And they'll destroy the relationship. Love isn't jealous. Jealousy will destroy a relationship, not only with God, but with one another. And it will lead you into evil actions. It is not good. Come over, if you would, to John chapter 11 that was read. This is a great illustration of jealousy at work. And even though he doesn't use the word jealousy, he defines jealousy and how it works. In John chapter 11, after he raised Lazarus from the dead, beginning in verse 45, he says, "Therefore many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what he had done believed in him, but some of them went to the Pharisees and told them the things which Jesus had done. Therefore the chief priests and the Pharisees convened a council and were saying, 'What are we doing? For this man is performing many signs.'" The chief priests and Pharisees should have been some of the most spiritual, godly men among these people. But now they have to convene a council. They call a council of the Sanhedrin court to come together. And they ask themselves, "What are we doing? This man is performing many signs, Jesus." Verse 48. "If we let him go on like this, all men will believe in him. And the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." Notice what they're concerned about. We're going to lose our place. We're going to lose our nation. And everybody's going to love this man. They're going to believe in him. See, they don't want him. They don't want Jesus getting the recognition what he came for. They didn't care for him being the Messiah. They want to destroy him. And they're asking, "Now what do we do? We got a problem on our hands, and this is caused from jealousy." This is exactly the way jealousy works. "Well, what are we going to do with them? You know, we're going to lose our place." I mean, you can almost see them saying that. "We're more worried about losing our position." What would love do in this case? If you love with the love of God, what would love do? You would rejoice in the truth and rejoice with what is right. You would be so grateful that Jesus is helping people. That's what the love of God would do. But jealousy says, "Oh, we got to preserve ourselves." Where selfish ambition and jealousy exist, there will be disorder in every evil thing. You mark it down. And it will lead you into evil. Look at down at verse 53. He says, "So from that day on, they planned together to kill him." Now, they didn't do it that day. You know what the plant came in the heart? They thought up an idea. "We're going to try to kill him. Somewhere down the road, that's going to be the end result." And so we know jealousy led to hatred, led to these feelings of bitterness and hatred, and it ended up killing the Messiah, our Lord in Christ. Man's jealousy would even kill God's precious things. You can see now why you and I, if we find jealousy cropping up in our heart, you better move away from that fast, because it's going to take you into things that are not good. Remember when teenagers, and the teenagers will identify with this anyway. Remember when teenagers and you were, you know, you had the hots for this guy or this gal, one of the two. And all of a sudden, a third party begins interfering. Now, you're not boyfriend, girlfriend, but boy, you get this third party interfering. What do? They start talking about how this guy or this gal, you know, they're stepping in. You know, I'm the one that likes them. I care for them. And you see all the nonsense and silliness that goes with it. Remember all of that? Remember when you did that? Or maybe you were with somebody who did that. And jealousy ended up and it destroyed everything in the relationship. Maybe it was your best friend. And then you plant evil thoughts in evil ways. See, jealousy is no good. Jealousy will never bring you to God. Jealousy will only push you further away from God. Come over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. See, jealousy will end up destroying you spiritually. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, Paul says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to infants in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it." Paul is reminding them when he came to the Corinthian church, they were babes in Christ. They were infants. They didn't know much. People come into Jesus, don't know a lot of things. Oh, they may have a lot of religious things that they brought with them, but there's of no account now. And so Paul said, you know what? When I dealt with you, I gave you milk. I didn't give you solid food because you weren't able to handle the big things. But at the end of verse 2, he says, "Indeed, even now you're not yet able." You would think these years later, the church at Corinth would be able to handle bigger spiritual matters. And you know what he said? You can't handle it. Still can't. What has kept them from growing? Verse 3. "For you are still fleshly." Still fleshly. You know what God expects? Not for us not to stay still fleshly. There has to be some growth. If you're a sincere person in Christ Jesus, if you have a sincere love for God, you should be moving past your fleshly desires. You should be getting better at loving like God loves. And if you're not, something is terribly wrong in your heart. You're still fleshly. Look at the middle of verse 3. "For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? Are you not walking like mere men?" Jealousy, and notice what he puts here with jealousy. Strife. Strife. James said, jealousy and selfish ambition. Now we got jealousy with strife. Jealousy never ties itself with anything good. Strife, people argue. What do you think people in the church get in a fight with one another? What do you think? We have strife. It's sure not coming from the love of God. It's coming from the flesh. And he tells them here years later, there is jealousy and strife among you. Are you not fleshly? Isn't that what the flesh would want? Sure it would be. Notice he says in verse 4, "For when one says, I am of Paul and I am Apollos, are you not mere men?" You see, they were jealous over preachers, over the different ones preaching to them. Oh, I like Peter. Oh, I like Apollos. Apollos was an eloquent speaker. Isn't that what mere men would do that are unsaved? Doesn't the love of God mean any more to you than that? See, jealousy. Jealousy doesn't bring about good results. That's why in Galatians 5, 19 through 21, Paul says, "Now the deeds of the flesh, they're evident. And enlisting in those deeds, jealousy." And he says, for those I warn And I have forewarned you that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. God has spoken. You want to practice jealousy? Then don't expect any part of God. Because it leads you into wrong actions. It leads you into wrong motives, wrong thoughts. And God says it will cost you your soul. See, God's love is not jealous. God's love sacrifices, helps, overcomes that. So what if someone else gets credit for something and you don't? If you did it for the sake of God, why can't you rejoice in that? Let them have the credit. No sense of being jealous over them. There is no place in the church for jealousy. I get so tired. I get so tired at preachers. I get invited all the time to preachers' meetings. I've quit going. I hadn't gone to preachers' meeting in 2 years. Because of the jealousy that exists among them. Because someone's always trying to outdo the other, and Carrie will tell you. And you just sit there and you just shake your head and you think, what in the world are we doing? So rather than upset my soul about it, the best thing for me to do is I'll let them have that and I'll stay away. We'll keep on trying to do what's loving and what's right, practice what's right. See, one of the things about love doesn't go with what's unrighteous. That's coming in a couple of weeks. See, love doesn't go with what's unrighteous. So you've got to get away from unrighteousness. But love is not jealous. And jealousy will keep you from growing spiritually. You show me every person who has ever been jealous or who is jealous, and I'll show you a person that has declined spiritually. And they could go and take a pen and they could mark at the time in their life when they started declining in their service to the Lord and where they are today. And it'll come back to jealousy, strife, selfish ambition. It's going to come back to one of those things entered the heart towards someone else. Guarantee you. But love is not jealous. Love will not hurt another. Love will only help. Love will sacrifice. Love cares. And God says, for the one who loves is born of God and knows God. And there's no room for jealousy. So we need to grow. And I encourage you, we need to grow. We need to be more God-like. And sometimes you may struggle with jealousy. And you want to feel it flare up inside. Nobody will know it. It's in your heart. But you've got to not act upon it. And you've got to choose, I'm going to love instead of being jealous and upset. I'm going to choose to love. And did you know when you'll choose to love, you know what will start coming or taking place in your heart? The love of God. You'll get better and you'll get stronger because you're allowing God entrance. You're giving Him access. And you will start building up and reaching out. And it'll start helping. I pray it's helped. I want us to grow. I want us to grow more into the likeness of Jesus. And with saying these words, if there's anybody we could help this morning, would you come while we stand, while we sing?